cliffcentral.com. Fashion Lab on cliffcentral.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Fashion Lab. Today we'll be discussing, that there's a lot of significant things when it comes to social responsibility in the global fashion market, with Africa also pushing great initiatives. What are you doing to ensure that the main purpose of your program is not getting overshadowed by the profitability of it? Today we'll have our usual contributors, and we're going to be just sort of dashing things up a little bit with me starting the show, and we will be getting into Glam Up straight away. But before we get started, I must just introduce, we've got some really, really cool special guests on the show today. We've got Congolese UK-based fashion designer and founder of ESIMBI, Tina Lobondi, and founder and also joined by celebrity stylist and CEO of the Legacy of True Beauty, Tendai Morowa. I'm going to start off by saying what I'm wearing today. And once again, very casual. We're going to introduce our guests. But before we get started, I'm very casual today. And I'm just really in my gym gear. I've been working on a job at Kyalami Circuit in Johannesburg. And it's been a 5 o'clock call time for the past week and a half. So I'm beyond exhausted. So it's really just about practicality this week. That's pretty much what we're going. I'd like to introduce our first guest, looking fabulous in pink, matching my lipstick. How about you introduce yourself for us today?
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me here. I really appreciate it. My name is Tendai Morowa. I'm the founder of the Legacy of True Beauty. And what am I wearing today? Ooh, pink, yes. You gotta wear pink when it's summer. I mean, it's hot. One of my favorite pieces from Klook CGDT that I just decided to pick it up and just mix it up with my nude shoes, you know, just to tone it down a little bit. Yeah.
Stunning, stunning. And thank I'm gonna get into my lipstick color, but I see that your dress
matching.
Is matching my lips. I know, it's so fabulous.
Matching,
isn't
matching,
it?
Exactly. Love that, love that.
Okay, well, Tina, anyway, it's lovely. Edgy. Yeah, it's lovely
I've heard
to have
so much
you.
About Edgy. Like, can I have a conversation with Edgy? Edgy, where are you, Edgy? Hello?
You absolutely may. Yeah. I just want to get started right into sort of the legacy of True Beauty. Tendai, what are you all about?
So basically, the Legacy of True Beauty started like 4 years ago, and it's a sum of different things, basically. And we all a team of different people in different departments. We deal with fashion, where we've got young upcoming designers that are showcasing on the 6th of May at Maboneng. So we're planning a fashion do for them.
Amazing.
Then we also have the Gentleman's Legacy, where I work with Maps Maponyane as well. We did it together for like 3 years. And it's basically empowering gentlemen, men coming together and networking together and just talking about their walks of life, you know, empowering each other. Mm. And we also have the women's called the Woman of the Future, where it's not so your well-off woman, but it's a diverse of different women as well that just come together as well and network. So for me, it's just basically a mix of everything coming together and mixed together. So yeah, that's what it is.
That's so amazing.
I don't know if I said it. Come together, mix together. Am I making sense?
You know what? At the end of the day, it's all about collaboration.
Together, mix together. Basically, it's a sum of different things, you know, things that I love that I just decided, you know what? Let me put it into a project. And it's just basically real people impacting each other. That's what it is, in short.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So now I have to delve in because someone's wearing a beautiful pink dress over there. Somebody's wearing something else looking fantastic in her pink lipstick, so I feel like I'm the one actually wearing
yes,
a nice bright
are.
Fuchsia.
You are wearing a lovely lace shift dress. I'm loving it. Come on, madam. You got this.
So guys, for those of you who are tuned in, yes, I am here and I am wearing a beautiful blue, navy blue with some sort of pink lace play all in the middle of it, going all the way to the bottom of it. I'm feeling very fun today, so I'm in a little mini showing off this serious
course.
Legs.
We got a show.
I think
leg.
It's a leg day.
Let's make the most of summer because yeah. winter is right the
and
corner.
And because we had a scare last week.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, thank you so much, Morag, for holding it down because obviously it's also nice to sit here and start the conversations and keep going. Yeah. For those of you who are tuned in, it's very nice to have you guys again today. Well, today we're really focusing on social responsibility in the fashion industry. And when you think about it at a glance, there's a lot of significant strides when it comes to social responsibility in the global market space, especially also within Africa. We've seen some really great initiatives. I think for those of you, what I want to do is actually pose a question to you if you're tuned in. What are you actually doing to ensure that the main purpose of your program, whatever it is, your social responsibility program, is not getting overshadowed by the profitability or success of your program? That's very important. We see a lot of this beautiful initiatives come and rise up, and then suddenly, now for them. So anyway, to move on, I want to just say also, obviously, there's companies in the retail segment that have really been impressive. There's so lots and lots of them. We don't want to go and share everything because we obviously have some really cool guests today in studio who are also going to just be touching a bit on what they're doing in their space, within their spheres of influence, to be able to bring some sort of change. Yeah. We've also had in the past, we had Dr. Judy Dlamini as well, who's the person behind Luminance, but with the whole fund thing and what they were doing in conjunction with her heart. Yes. And that name, heart. What they were doing with heart. Yes. So I think the idea is to sit down and in here, have this conversation, see who's doing what, and see if we can also be able to jump on certain initiatives or even jump on their initiatives, because the truth is, the initiatives, there are some initiatives that are actually open, meaning that you can jump on and become a partner. And I think with the power of collaboration, you can actually do so much more. There's a lot of companies using this as a, you know, we can talk and talk and talk. But I want to just say thank you for joining us on the show today. I hope that you shared what you're wearing, because don't make me do that again.
Yeah, it's CGDT. Hello, if Malcolm is listening, I'm wearing you, Malcolm.
All right. Yeah? Thank you. Now, I want to also introduce Edgy, reintroduce him. Edgy's not okay. Well, then we are going to just go ahead with the show. Now, for those
Shame,
of you...
can Gina just come to you, please? Edgy, we need you.
Don't worry. We are so many of us that while we are talking, someone else will come on. It's all good. Yeah. We are definitely here with Morag, who's also holding it down. For those of you who are tuned in for the first time, just a quick reminder. My favorite segment at the end of the show is called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why? And that's what I call our red glass of wine, because that's our winding down situation in this space. Keep your tweets coming. We're on Fashion Lab AF on Twitter. We are on Fashion Lab Africa on Facebook and Fashion Lab Africa on Instagram. Now, allow me to introduce, we had two guests today, and we're going to have this conversation with both guests. Now, Tina Lobondi is a fashion brand on its own, which was established in Notting Hill, London in 2011. However, Esimbi is the main project that I want to really be touching about. Now, Esimbi, for those of you who don't know, is an educational social enterprise in aid of children in the UK and Congo. It's a social enterprise with a goal to help create jobs, guide underprivileged and street kids towards a sort of career path and transform their lives by keeping them educated through workshops or sponsorships. Allow me to introduce to you the founder of Esimbi, Tina Lobondi, who's definitely not a stranger in this fashion space and game. But welcome to the show, Tina.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
How are you today? You sound like you're wearing black. What are you wearing, and what's inspiring the look before we delve in?
I'm wearing black and gray. It's very sunny in London, so.
And is the sky gray too?
Actually, it's blue for once. Come on. Give me some credits. Give London some credits.
Okay, well,
it's blue today.
Like I said, well, you sounded a bit different, and I said, and that's why it was a bit of a joke, but it's actually not a joke. But thank you for joining us, Tina. We love to plug you in, and congratulations on what you're doing with
thank
the Esimbi,
so
and obviously also on your fashion presence in
thank
the market
you.
Through your brand. Now,
thank
we
you.
Obviously are talking social responsibility, And I have obviously also got another very special guest in studio. Her name is Tendai Maroa, and Tendai is the founder of Legacy of True Beauty. So we're going to just be touching on different projects, but still have that hashtag that really drives us back to the conversation around today's subject matter, which is social responsibility. Now, I want to just talk a bit, if you could just introduce our audience a bit to Esimbi and what role it's actually fulfilling in the global scape of things, so that we can just get a bit of a feel before we go and delve in too deep. Tina, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we lost you there a bit. So I'm just
can
saying,
you hear me?
No, we can hear you now. We can hear you now. So please introduce to us a bit about Esimbi, the journey, and what role it's fulfilling.
Yeah, I mean, Esimbi was established a year or now. So we did our first 2 weeks ago. It was amazing. A very successful event that was attended by, you know, potential supporters, but also a lot of press that flew from Paris and Belgium. So we were very grateful. So what we've been doing in the past year is to really try to empower the children in, through arts activities. So last year in October, we had a fashion workshop for over 500 students at the
Hi, Tina. I apologize, but I'm just going to have to reconnect with you because we have a very bad connection. So we will plug you back in. I apologize for that. Thank you. Anyway, so as we are, we apologize for that. It's just a bit of a glitch. We know what technology is. We love it, but sometimes it surprises us. However, we're going to just hang on there and continue the conversation with Tendai, who's also in studio today, while we reconnect Tina as we speak to her about her project, Esimbi. So I want to come back to you, Tendai.
Yes.
What is it about? Let's talk a bit about your program, just an introduction to your program.
Okay.
And what it is that you actually would say is the role that you're fulfilling through this program in the industry.
So let me also just take you through back what made me start this program so that makes a bit of a clear understanding as well. I did my fashion studies in Australia. That was in 2005, I went to Australia.
A long time ago.
And I learned quite a lot about the industry and finding myself, etc. And my first job was with Nine West. And for me, when I came to South Africa, the retail element in the fashion industry was very different from what I was used to. So there was different elements of gaps in between and all. And you'd see like what's going on. And I had to learn around it, you know. So I've worked for Klux CGDT for 6 years. I've been with them. So that's where I got the exposure and the networking to network with celebrities and other people who work in the fashion industry and Fashion Week, etc. So how this project started, the Legacy of True Beauty, was basically I wanted to fill in the gap of what's missing within the industry, whether it's fashion, empowering young people, basically. Because for me, I think it's very important as an individual. It's good to learn, but it's also good to get someone that can hold you by your hand and give you that experience and push you and give you that exposure. So for me, I wanted to do something for the young and upcoming because I feel like South Africa is more focused on the mainstream designers. They're not giving a platform for the young African designers. So that's where I come in. And I'm actually planning a fashion show on the 6th of May where we've got 10 designers, unknown and young designers that we're bringing together to come and showcase. We're also doing a campaign shoot on Sunday where we like pre-introducing them individually about their brand and who they are. So
I want to I just want to talk about this quickly for a minute, just to touch on it.
Yeah.
Now, when you say, you know, because we live in a world where people think you're supposed to be given a platform, and that's not, we have to change that mindset. And people have to realize it's not chips. And even chips, you have to buy your chips.
Exactly.
Even sausage, you have to buy.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things I would like to also just, the energy that I would like to redirect or the mindsets when it comes to the idea of giving, it's nothing to be given. This is the you're in the world playing in this space wherever you are, you have to make the best of whatever it is you need to do. Otherwise, no one owes anyone anything, and nobody is giving anyone anything. I think so. It's great that I think what the word we're gonna have to use tonight, so that people don't get confused, is it's an opportunity, and you're helping them leverage whatever it is they're building. But they're not. There's no giving. You work. You build your story. You build your brand.
Yeah.
You build whatever you have with what you have.
So it's giving them more of an opportunity. You are right.
But they have the opportunity.
Yeah, I guess with the misprivileged, I'm talking about the ones that can't afford. Because you know how it is, showcasing at your fashion weeks, so you have to pay a fee.
Has
an expenses. So these are the ones that can't afford. That's where I come in.
So where do you get, so let's talk about who do you partner with, and how do you decide, first of all, how many brands or how many young fashion designers you can handle within a certain specific time? So you have the program, you have the project.
Yes.
You obviously, they need financial support. Obviously, a collection is not just like, here is money to put together a collection, or here is, I'm covering your participation fee. It's a lot of money, because
it's a lot of money,
at the end of the day, you also have to think about this product from where, you know, from concept all the way to distribution, you know, and sustain it. So it has to be a sustainable way.
Now,
so how, where do you get, who do you partner with, and then who do you decide fits into the program?
Fits into the
and
program.
How?
So basically, I've got a good relationship with Lysoff. And as well, like I said, because I've been in the industry for 10 years and worked for Klook for 6 years, networking, etc. I've been scouting along the way with young designers. So what I do is I don't take what's too extreme for me. I've got 6 designers that I built a good relationship with last year. And for me, we started in implementing the stuff that they already have, the stuff that they've already done. Let's make use of it. Let's be creative. Let's do photo shoots. Let's rebrand your work, that type of thing. So that's what we've been doing. But in terms of them doing a collection, funding their own, they fund their own fabrics. So they'll go home, get, you know, because some of them do work and some don't. So they'll get like pocket money, buy fabric, and then they make. So for me, where I come in, it's more of giving them a platform in terms of the fashion show that we're doing, giving them the opportunity, helping them to brand themselves, and creating concepts and photo shoots. That's where we come in. So financially, we're not yet there where we can say, we're bringing you on board, we're going to financially support you. We're not yet there.
But,
so we're still,
but have you attracted certain strategic alliances that might be able to fill certain voids, so that you're not carrying this thing on your, because obviously you're going to have to get some sort of...
Yeah, so we're working on it. We've built good relationships in terms of sponsorship. But I guess as a foreigner, because I'm not South African, I'm Zimbabwean, so it's a bit of a challenging when you start approaching people for funding, you know, because I've been doing it for 3 years and it's been a struggle. So at the moment, it's just been me funding it on myself, doing my own thing, and just making it on a smaller scale than me straining myself. Mm. Yeah.
It's very impressive. You know, when you speak about funding, I think one of the things I am very excited about when it comes to globalization is the fact that even for Africa, what globalization has done and the impact it has in our lives today is the fact that it actually makes our regions, our spaces more borderless.
Yes.
And when you have a more borderless sort of scenario, then you obviously can be able to play without saying, oh, I'm not from here, so I'm not from here, so we all know I'm not from here either. But my thing is, it's becoming easier that maybe 10 years ago Africa was so much more like, this is South Africa, this is Kenya, Nigeria, do not cross that border. Oh, you're not from here. Oh, now which one beyond?
Yes.
Now it's become that we are doing African, a lot of projects are African projects. And when it's African projects, it already has created less tension when it comes to you feeling like a victim. My husband the other day said to me I was a victim, and I almost fell over because I said, oh, no, this is not what this is, because I'm from where? And he's like, Liz, stop, change your language.
Yeah.
And change of language is just to encourage, also for those of you who are thinking you're playing within a certain space and you want to get caught up in, oh, well, with funding, what? No. There's a lot of opportunities when it comes to African projects. Mm. So I think what's happening also, like I said, is because the borders are becoming more borderless and easier for us to play, we can then focus on saying, what can we do? So Tendai is from Zim, Liz is from Kenya, Morag's from SA, Edge is from Nigeria, Tina is from Congo. You know, we can do something, all of us, without feeling the stress and the strain. And we will actually get a lot of financial backup when you do it that way, because people are looking for collaborations and people know the power of collaboration.
That's true. And that's just to add on what you're saying, Liz, I think that's how my project has survived, through collaborations. Mm. And when you find the designers, the nice thing I love about the designers, they're all from different places. They're from different countries, foreigners that have actually come to South Africa to learn about the industry.
Amazing.
And also be. So for me, it's all about, I'm not all about, you know, the phase of, let's have the money first. For me, it's about the passion. Mm. Let's come together. Let's work and make a difference. Because once you make a difference within the community and you work together and collaborate very well with the right mind of positive mindset, it's much easier to get to the next level. And that's where I'm coming on as the legacy of True Beauty.
Thank you so much, Tunda. Yeah. It's very refreshing to hear what you're talking about. I want to go back to Tina Lobondi, who's the founder of Esimbi, just to plug her in. Tina, welcome back.
Thank you.
I apologize. Like I said, technology sometimes is on our side, sometimes it's not really on our side. But thank you for joining us, Tina. And Edgy, welcome to the show as well.
Thank you, Liz.
Yes.
Hi, Tina.
We missed you a bit.
Hi.
but we have you here, and we're going to talk about what you're wearing when we come to you live and direct right now. But allow me to flip this back to Tina to just quickly take us through Esimbi, the educational social enterprise in aid of children in the UK and Congo, and where you're going with it, Tina. So maybe just a bit of a background with that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so Esimbi was established a year ago now. We celebrated the first year anniversary 2 weeks ago in London. And we just wanted really to share, you know, the work that we're doing with the children in Kinshasa, and to make sure that, you know, our activities are making a difference, because, you know, the arts sector in Congo has been so neglected. And this is what we're trying to, you know, to focus on, to provide art activities to the schools that we work with and the orphanage, and to also make sure that the kids stays at school and they receive the material that they need in terms of books and pen and things like that.
So, Tina, how do you decide who fits into your program, and where do you find these people? Like, is it something, do you put on an application online, or do you go into different cities connecting with different, what do you do? How do you get the people that you feel fit into that sort of pool so that you can leverage them to the
Yes, I mean, what we do is we go to the schools. We have a team in Congo that goes to visit every school, and you know, talk with the headmaster and see what are the needs. And we really prospect on the ground. We don't take applications online, because we need to meet the children face to face and see what are the situations.
And is this just in Congo?
So we have, at the moment, yes.
It's very refreshing. So another question for you, obviously, it's quite of a brand new program. After the show is the after party. What do you do? What's your after party? What happens when someone has already gone through the Esimbi program, the program's finished, what's next?
What's next is the follow-up. We need to make sure that, you know, they are at school and they have what they need to become, you know, working individual. So, you know, we try to keep an eye on what's going on after the show, like you said. So it's really, we're really trying to run a program that will follow these kids into young adults.
Okay.
And to make sure that, you know, they have a good future in Congo or abroad if they want to.
It's very good. We are happy about what you're doing with Esimbi. And I just want to plug on to Edgy. Edgy is our contributor as well on the show. He runs a fashion services company in New York, sourcing services to different brands. And he is obviously also, it's nice to always get his feedback and his echoes from where he is. Edgy, re-welcoming you to the show again.
Thank you.
We will ask you what
I'm re-thanking you.
Yes, yes, thank you. We will be asking you what you're wearing shortly. But in the meantime, I just want to pick your mind on, I don't know, I'm sure that there are a lot of different initiatives that are coming up across the world. And I think generally, if we look 10 years back, I still feel that today is a good day because obviously the fashion industry is very conscious and aware about, you know, being able to play a role and become a bit more socially responsible so that, you know, we are also giving back in different ways. I think there's a very significant stride when it comes to how this has grown, even in the continent. What are your thoughts or what's going on in that side of the world with these sort of initiatives? Are we seeing a lot of them coming up and then like falling apart, or are they actually quite sustainable? And is this actually something that's really becoming a bigger thing for the right reason on your side of the world?
I mean, here, you know, our problems are not as dire as home, but we have a lot of social issues, which fashion is doing a lot to you know, highlight, you know, whether it's hate or women's issues or just, you know, during the last fashion weeks from the US and across Europe, there was just this message of love, you know, to move the world away from this populist hatred that's all over the place. So fashion is a very big protest instrument, you know, it can do a lot of things in terms of social responsibility. And I just listening to Tina, I was thinking, you know, it would be really nice if something like a Simbi can be taken regional, you know, what we can do together to move that program regional, because you can pick a lot of issues. You can pick a lot of issues to tackle with fashion in Africa: hunger, water, you know, sanitation, just simple little things that are taken for granted everywhere, but in Africa these are core needs, you know. But I mean, what she's doing is really effective, and it's already rolling. I mean, how can we help with something like, how can we take it regional so that kids who are beyond Congo can
also gain benefit
from an initiative.
Yeah.
Almost like an exchange program where the child in Congo can go to like a, you know, stay with a family in New York, for instance, you know, like a nice
Absolutely.
Exchange program. Because I mean, one, Tina, this is just a question for you. Once the children are educated in the Congo through the program, what is their choices of going abroad? Do you support that as well? Like, do you take them abroad?
So the children that we are working with are actually in primary school now.
Okay.
So it's not really, it's not yet within the program, but, you know, if we follow them in I think more than 5 years,
yes.
So maybe 6 years, as when the age of maybe thinking of going to, you know, a new university in another city in Africa or something like that. We hope we'll be able to still be following them, be able to follow them and support them. Absolutely.
Tina, I was
okay.
just... Oh,
right.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Edgy. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask her, you know, with this program, sometimes you have to have like a filtration system, meaning
yes, we do.
There are different levels of different levels of excellence, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe working together, we can do like an excellence program within the program that you have,
yeah.
So that people
oh, that'd
who
be
really,
amazing. Yeah.
You know, people who stand out, we can
mm-hmm.
all. Do something for them, you know, we can find them between all of us. There's capacity here, you know, we can place them somewhere, we can move them around some poles, you know, move them from one point to the other. depending on how good they are.
Yeah, I just want to say, Tina, that we have seen a lot of great initiatives rise and fall, and then kind of suddenly fall. You know, have you thought about, or have you thought about it in the sense of what you guys will also do to ensure that the main purpose of your program, which is social responsibility, never gets overshadowed by the success of the program itself? Because then what's happening is there's a lot of beautiful initiatives, how to keep it sustainable and going, and keep the focus of the program really like tight without without it really faltering. Because the problem is, what's the point also of starting these beautiful initiatives and then like they just die in a year or two? Have you thought about that,
aware of the situation and what's going on in Congo? So
The line's very bad, Tina. Okay. We're going to just like... we're losing. We can't hear Tina. So we're going to try and reconnect with you, Tina, shortly. But... But we are here. We're still here with Tendai. We're here with Morag. We're here with Edgy. And...
Hi, Edgy. Hello.
Edgy.
Hi.
I've been stalking you.
I must just tell you, Edgy, when Tendai walked into the show, she was like, all I want to do today is just speak to Edgy.
How are you, Edgy?
So... You may now speak.
Good, you? I just
did that put a smile on your... Oh, is it? Did that put a smile on your face?
Mara,
so your picture has this serious face.
Has the zing.
Like, what's happening with that picture?
Liz, we're now called the Fashion Lab Africa Dating.com show.
Please, we are not the... Guys, order in the house. Order in the house. Now, we are...
Yes, ma'am.
Just FYI, we are not the Fashion Lab Dating Services. However, if you find that Idris factor in Edgy, you're not the first. It's okay. And we are happy to help you take it offline. We're happy to help you take it offline.
Get a problem.
When we finish this conversations around social responsibility. Now, Edgy, what are you wearing before we go on? Because we didn't talk about what you were wearing and what was inspiring your look.
Oh, today, you know what? To be honest with you, I wish I could tell you guys.
Are you wearing pajamas?
No, because...
Be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm wearing pajamas, but I'm wearing a pretty cool shawl cardigan over it. But totally pajamas. I haven't slept a wink today because our store went live today. Well, a little bit.
Congratulations.
Not all of it. Mm. Yeah.
Do you want to share the link with our listeners, or should we wait for it to go platinum?
Well, there isn't much content in there yet. We're still putting the landing page together, but it will be www.nwnewyork.com very soon.
Okay. Well, it's great to have you on the show. And I think the idea, like I said, is always nice to pick minds from different parts of the world or the diaspora and just kind of see, wow. Whew, technology is not on our side today.
Why today?
Okay. Edgy, are you here with us?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Fantastic. I'm here. So what I'm saying is, with the conversation we're having, it's great to see initiatives like Asimbi and initiatives like the Legacy of True Beauty with Tendai, who's in the house, talking about also what she does. And before we move further, I wanna challenge you and Morag, and you don't have to lie. Like if you're wearing pajamas, you know how I say be creative, and then you say you're wearing your diesel jeans.
Mm-hmm.
This is not one of those flip the coin. This is like real talk. So I wanna start. Edgy, I wanna start with you. What are you doing within your capacity? You've been in the game for over 20 years, Edgy, 25. Or what?
I was actively in the game for about 10.
Okay, so about 10 years you've been in the game. Actively.
10, 12, yeah.
Edgy, yes. Yeah. And you are a person who has done and worked with some of the biggest brands. You have conceptualized and developed collections for some of the biggest brands and fashion houses in this world. You have wrapped shoulders and worked with some of the big names. I want to ask you, and this is a responsible question coming straight live and direct from Liz Ogumba Regisford right here in Fashion Lab at the studio, to you to say, what have you done for them lately? Like, what have you done for them lately? Ooh, yeah.
You mean socially?
Yeah, socially, Edu. That's the real talk.
Well, socially, I do a lot of things for CASA Lake County. They're an organization that helps foster kids when they're in homes that they are not well treated. They move them to better homes. So I work with designers like Bibu, and every season we raise about $14,000 for them.
Okay.
Just with invitations to Fashion Week, which are auctioned at their galas. And then I also do work for Green World, so which plants trees in like Kenya and different places. I donate t-shirts. And in Africa, to be honest with you, it would be fantastic to have something to work on. Right now, all I do is just have African models and African designers come to New York to be in Fashion Week or to intern. But I mean, those are not social issues. Those are. It would be nice for. Yeah. That's why I feel. Yes.
But Edgy, still congratulations on what you're doing. All I want to do is to make sure, as we talk about some of this, when we have these conversations around the subject matters, especially around social responsibility, I feel like we also have a responsibility already just sitting here having this conversation. And therefore, as much as we have Tina on the show today and we have Tendai, I feel like we have to also look within and think, what are we actually doing? I want to come to you, Morag, as well. And before we roll over to Glam Up, what have you done in your almost 15 years of experience in the game? What have you done? And this is not even an attack. It's a real talk, and you can throw it back to me. But what are you doing, or what have you thought about, or have you found ways to actually contribute?
100%.
So
I'm sure, well, some of the listeners might know that I actually taught hair and makeup for 3 years at Head to Toe Makeup and Hairstyling School in Cape Town and Johannesburg. So I've got that skill to be able to teach my passion, not only to clients, to paying clients, but also to women who want to be, you know, where we are now. So I like to, obviously I inspire women, and I also like to work with the less fortunate. And I'm not saying the less fortunate as in, you know, pick someone off the street, but there really are girls who cannot afford to go to Lice Off Makeup School or cannot afford makeup, but they love makeup, you know. So what I did actually last year, so June's my birthday month, so I always love to give back in my birthday month because I always get such fabulous presents. So I like to just give back, you know, stuff that I'm not using anymore. And then I did it again last year in December, so 2016 in December, where I actually collected, you know, makeup that I'm not using. So, I mean, obviously I get sent a whole lot of products every month to try out. So whatever I'm not using, if I say to you some of it wasn't even opened yet, and then I just gathered it all together and I just sent it off to an orphanage, because my whole thing is that every girl deserves glitter in their life, no matter what. So what they do with it, you know, and the unfortunate thing is that it's not realistic for me to go into an orphanage and teach girls to become a makeup artist. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not realistic, but, yeah, because...
I think the fact that you're whatever
I'm just giving. So what they do with it, what they're doing with the eyeshadow, what they're doing with the glitter, it still puts a smile on their face. So that for me right now in the current situation in South Africa, it's very difficult to give back in my sort of field to give back, because realistically a girl needs to be able to speak English. She needs to be able to communicate with a client in order to make money in my field.
I think Maura, so, it's good what you're doing is good and it's commendable. I was just going to say thank you for what you're doing. It's enough. You don't have to justify what you're doing. As long as you give whether you give your time or you give your product or
you have to
it's cool. So now, for those of you who are tuned in, if you're a part of what we call the African fashion magic, okay, whether you're in the diaspora, whether you're in the continent, whether you're just a lover of African fashion, whether you're just a consumer, I think that one of the things we have to do is get a bit more conscious about what we do in our lives today. And I know they say, oh, give and you receive, but it doesn't have to be a what do I get, what's the catch 29? It really is for you to get to a stage, and it has to be something that comes from your soul, like the truth from the inside out. You have to sit down and think, as you grow, how can you grow someone else? I don't care if it's one person. I don't care if you bring in someone. What I normally do for me with younger girls in my circle, whether it's a daughter of a friend, when they ask me for clothes and for money, I say to them, come. Because you know what they're going to do? They're going to work for me. It's not a slave drive. It's just basically also teaching them certain principles while you expose them into your network.
100%. You cannot just receive.
Yes. So even if you're giving them a big fat chunk for 2 hours of put the swing tags on those dresses, please, I beg. That's fine. Put the swing tags. But the thing is, you're not just giving them. You're actually giving them more than just here is some money. So all I'm asking is for the continent, for the fashion industry, for the world who's listening right now is, get a bit more conscious as you grow, and you'll be surprised. There's a sense of fulfillment that you will never, ever get if you don't get on that tip. And just remember that we are all helping each other, so that as we grow together. I want to roll over to Glam Up with Morag Stein, and then I'm coming back to just close with Tina and close with Tendai and my beautiful crew, and then we're going to wrap it up. So welcome to the show again with your Glam Up,
Morag. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hiya, Bobby.
Hi, Kim.
You want to go for a ride?
Sure, Kim.
Jump in.
I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Life is plastic.
You gotta have that on video.
You can brush my hair, undress me everywhere. Imagination, life is your creation.
You know, and that's the whole point, Liz. So I hope you all enjoyed my little song. And I just, today is International Barbie Day, for those who didn't know. I'm a huge Barbie fan. I played with Barbies when I was growing up. And I just, this is really for all the women out there, that life is your creation. It really is. So it's what you make of it. And this is just something, a little something from Ruth Handler, who actually created Barbie in 1959, who says, my whole philosophy of Barbie is that through the doll, the little girl could be anything she wanted to be. Barbie always represented the fact that a woman has choices. And for me, that is so, so important. You know, we had International Women's Day yesterday. I saw millions and millions and millions of tweets, social media, everything. And it was just so, it was like for the first time ever that women actually came together. Even men were saying, like, happy Women's Day. You know, it was crazy. So the lipstick that we're going to get into, lipstick of the day, is of course Saint Germain. For those makeup lovers out there, if you don't know what color Saint Germain is, you are dead in my life, because it's the true Barbie pink color, obviously from MAC Cosmetics. I know we did a MAC lipstick last week, but I mean, this Saint Germain is just the Barbie color of the world. And I'm actually loving it today. I haven't worn it for years. And Tendai, that's what I was saying. My lipstick and your dress are exactly the same color. You need to leave with the Saint Germain on your lips. So, you know, Basho, you all know that I'm the rebel in town. I don't necessarily fit in with expectations. And yes, I have a mind of my own. And I don't necessarily conform to the norm. You know, if something bugs me, I'm going to tell you that's not on and that's not cool, you know. You know, and as I said, with International Women's Day happening yesterday, you know, I've been working with a lot of corporates lately, and the stereotype of a middle-aged frump is really gone. And it's sort of become a very sassy thing for, you know, a woman with confidence. She knows what she wants. So instead of saying, oh, I'm 50, or it's like, I'm 50 and 50 is the new 30. And it isn't really about denial. 50 just isn't old anymore. You know, if we think of 20 years ago when someone said they were 50, we're like, oh my word, that's so old. Like you're a granny, you know, whereas now it's like women are almost getting reborn when they're 50. And, you know, I cannot speak from experience. I'm obviously not 50, but I'm learning this from all my corporate clients and from all my older friends, you know, who are telling me this. You know, and the driving force of the midst is the prediction that by 2019, just in the UK alone, there will be 10 million women over the age of 55.
Wow.
So like, that is 10 million. Over 10 million women in the UK alone over the age of 55. Like, that is huge. So, I mean, we're living older, etc. You know, and women are also staying in the workplace a lot longer. They're getting put in higher positions for a lot longer. And, of course, you know, with this comes looking after yourself, and that's where the glam up comes in. So, you know, I've just sort of spoken to a few friends, spoken to a few clients, And, you know, the things that have come in is many didn't feel supported by some of the key beauty brands, and they feel that they're being largely ignored by the industry, except when it comes to anti-aging products. And then the price is so high. It's like, okay, great, I'm 50. Thanks for the anti-aging product, exactly. But it's costing like 1,000 rand for a little thing of eye cream. You know what I'm saying? So you actually, it's like, and they were just saying that they really feel exploited. So now it's like you need the facials, you need the Botox, you need the, whereas 10 years ago, and this is really 10 years ago, Botox was 50 rand a unit or 20 rand a unit. I know because I had it done. And now it's like 100 rand a unit. And I'm just like, what? We're trying to keep young, but it's costing us so much more, you know? So once again, I'm going to get back to the home DIY. And that is, of course, eating healthy, using natural products on your skin. And that can really sort of give you more longevity as well. And also, there's too much choice out there. I just feel like you know, it's like you're walking into a jungle. And there's also a little support of what to choose from. So, like, yes, there's a lot of beauty products. Yes, there's a lot of anti-aging products. But which one is actually the best? Which one do I actually choose? You know, there's a lot of wedding dress designers out there. But which one is my one? Which one should I choose? You know, so there's no support in that sense. You know, and also with, you know, I've spoken about the makeup courses that I give and etc. And also dealing with a corporate woman look, how do they fit in to a Ruby Rose with an Urban Decay campaign or a Lady Gaga with a MAC campaign? Where does the corporate woman fit in? You know, so I just think there's a huge gap. And I think it's something, you know, yes, it's great. It's Women's Day. Yes, it's Barbie International Day today. But what about the 55-year-old woman?
Paying 100 rand.
Exactly. like $100. You know? Yeah.
Is it really $100?
Yeah, it's like, it's crazy. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really
young,
crazy.
It's now
You know, and of course, we're all interested in looking more vibrant, awake, alive. And I've just, you know, basically over all of this, I just feel that women have become more confident in who they are the older they get. So it's not necessarily about going to have that Botox done or about going to have that facial done anymore, but just more they're saying, I'm 55 and I'm going to rock and roll. And yes, I'm wearing the same dress as my 20-year-old daughter because I can, you know. So it's really just confident, sexy and comfortable within themselves. And they're not constantly being paranoid about wrinkles, gray hair, you know, signs of aging. I'm definitely paranoid about gray hair. I like sit and pull them out. You know, I could drive people crazy. You know, and really it's just about, you know, make the effort to get to know a woman before you just sort of assume who they are or assume how old they are. Or just, you know, from a doctor's point, just, you know, first find out what is actually the problem before you just take a woman's money and say, yes, you need 100 units of Botox and you're going on holiday with their money, you know. And also, you know, just not to treat women badly. I think that that's really what my whole segment is about today as well. You know, and the conclusion is that as women, we need to start just sort of standing together within beauty. And, you know, if there's something we can't do, once again, collaborate, help each other, you know. And, you know, it's also a social responsibility role that, and I think that as women, we need to be socially responsible and support each other. And that's all from me for the lovely glamour of today. You can follow me on social media, all social media platforms at Morag Steyn. That's MoragSteyn. And I will be posting everything up on my website as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Morag. That was great. Thank you. Now,
that was awesome.
I would like us to, okay, well, I would just like us to wrap up as well, so we can have our glass of wine. It's not real wine, guys. It's who would you want to dress and why. But before we do that, Tendai, it's been really nice having you on the show. If you could just please share with our listeners where or how they can connect with you on social media or your website or.
Okay. Just to wrap up as well on what we've been touching base and everything, because I've got a question to also ask Edgy in terms of the fashion industry in New York. Edgy, are you there?
Why do I think this is the zing, zing, zing factor, but hi, yeah. Yeah, okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
So I've got one question. I wanted to find out, do you guys, in terms of your young designers, does the Fashion Council support it as much as, how do they work their way up for showcasing, etc.? How does it work?
AG? Are you sleeping?
Hello?
Edgy is scared. He's thinking it to the zing, 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 zing. So
anyway, Edgy, you will DM me your answer. It's fine. For those to catch me, the Legacy of True Beauty _ Instagram or on Facebook, the Legacy of True Beauty as it is. Then also my personal account on Instagram at Maroa Tendai. And then my Twitter is Miss Shorty _007. That's where you find me. Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, Tina's not here, but for those of you who have been tuned in, Tina, thank you very much for joining us on the show. We appreciate what you're doing with the Simbi, and good luck to you with that, as well as your fashion journey. For those who want to connect with Tina, she's Tina Lobondi, and she's at TinaLobondi.com, I think. Guys, just Google, please. Use the Google thing. It works, too. But thank you so much for joining us. Tendai, I wish you all the best with your fashion journey and obviously with the project as well, the Legacy of True Beauty. Keep us in the loop of what you're doing, because you are more responsible than someone who's sitting on the corner trying to look at your red pink dress and think you should have put on a green one instead, you know? And then, obviously, for who would you want to dress and why, we're going to go straight to Morag. Morag, I love starting with you. Let's start with Maura. Who would you want to dress and why?
I would want to dress, her name is Joni Johnson. She is the CEO of Mrs. South Africa, Pty Ltd. So, I mean, you all know what Mrs. South Africa is. It's a beauty pageant. I actually had the honor of this past Sunday spending the whole day with the top 100 contestants and doing a few talks with them and some, you know, beauty stuff. And I just want to say that whatever people have in mind about what they think Mrs. South Africa is all about, scrap it, because those women in that pageant are, every single one of them inspired me to a point that I was speechless, because I also had the wrong impression. So I would love to dress Joni. She's really doing a phenomenal job.
Fantastic. Edgy, who would you... No, Tendai, who would you want to dress and why? Sorry, Edgy goes last. I mean, goes before me, but after you.
It will be two ladies. South Africa, I would say Simpiwe Dana. I love her. She's amazing.
Yes.
You know, when she... She doesn't have to say two words, you know. It's just her presence.
Her presence.
She's strong.
And she does
character.
Have a presence.
She does. Yeah. Hey, she's very strong, outspoken. Her music is very different and dynamic. So I'd love to dress her, because her look is very different. Mm. And I like the fact that she's very versatile. She doesn't stick to the same thing.
Yes.
Then the international lady I would like to dress, Jada Pinkett Smith. I like Jada,
We haven't spoken about that one.
Jada,
for a long.
Jada, I love her. Like, she's petite.
You
shorts.
Actually like, you she's could
like, you could be her sister. Like,
yeah.
I could be a sister.
Her African sister.
Thank you very much. That's a compliment.
Guys, if Edgy's not on the line now, I think today I want to address, her name is Weza Solange. She's an Angolan actress. She's also a sister.
Oh, yes.
She's got a banging body, banging energy. She's she's on, that girl is on fire.
She's on fire.
I would like to dress Weza Solange in more and more of the Liz O brand. I think she looks really good in my brand.
Yes.
And otherwise, for those of you who are tuned in, it's been great. We are on www.fashionlabafrica.com. Thank you for joining us. And remember to be a bit more conscious as you continue in your journeys. Thank you, Tendai. Thank you, Morag. Thank you, Edgy.
Thank you, Tina.
Ladies. Bisous. Au revoir.
Bye.
Fashion Lab on cliffcentral.com. CliffCentral.com.